Here's your host of Sound Off, Brad Bennett.
Well, here we are back with hour number three on a Monday in the Northland. Just a kind of a nice day going on, a great day to lay out in a suntan on a corner and beg for money, I guess, what we're saying. Anyway, I want to wrap this story up about this these two bills that we dodged in the state of Minnesota. We could have added to the $250 million. Representative Walter Hudson, a Republican from Albertville, issued a statement in response to Hassan's decision to pull her bills. After more than $250 million in fraud and 70 charges, it's about time Democrats have started to take this massive fraud seriously, said Hudson. The fact that this bill was even introduced after the benefiting nonprofit appeared in Feeding Our Future trial documents more than 40 times is beyond concerning. Instead of continuing to pour millions of dollars into unacceptable nonprofits, Democrats need to fund the basic government services that Minnesota needs, like emergency medical services. In February, Representative Hassan announced that she will not be seeking re-election to her Minneapolis seat in the Minnesota House of Representatives. Thank God. It's about time some of those people start backing out. Anyway, the bad news for Minnesotans, you're going to pay more and more for your utilities. Why? Because we're not building the grid up big enough, and we're using more and more electricity. Now, what Xcel is going to do to try to force you, and I do mean force you, to handle it better, is if you run your air conditioning on hot summer afternoons or starting a load of laundry after dinner, let's say you're both you and your husband are working, that's the only time you can get things done is, you know, laundry late at night after dinner. Well, they're going to get more expensive for you from Xcel Energy residential customers in Minnesota. If state regulators approve Xcel's plan, the state's largest utility, electric utility, would charge variable electric rates at different times. Now, think about this as I read you this, because this is just interesting how they want to manipulate us into doing things different. Rates would be highest during the peak periods from like 3 o'clock till 8 o'clock on weekdays. That's when everybody gets home from work, right? And you're cooking and you're watching TV, maybe doing your laundry, whatever. They're going to charge you more during that period of time. And they're going to charge you less at night from midnight to 6 a.m. See, if all of us will just get up at midnight, get out of your bed, wake yourself up, slap some water on your face, go downstairs, do a load of laundry, maybe watch some TV late night, and I don't know, sleep maybe in the afternoon when you get home. Other hours would be a base rate, but the cheapest rate would be between midnight and 6 a.m. when nobody's up using electricity, or very few. Anyway, many utilities already offer voluntary programs or incentives for customers to reduce their energy during what they call peak hours, you know. But Xcel's plan would be the default for all its residential customers unless they choose to opt out of that program. What's behind the thinking is really trying to drive behavior changes and usage changes. That's exactly. They want to drive you to get up late at night, do the laundry or whatever, to shift their usage to those off-peak periods.
Okay, Brad.
When energy is more affordable.
I'm going to ask the question, why?
Yes.
Why? Why are we doing this, Brad?
Well, because we have not kept up generating enough in the grid, you know, enough. Well, for example, you know, Joe Biden has said we're not going to use fossil fuels. So, and windmills and solar panels don't really generate a whole lot of stuff.
So the short answer is we're doing this to save the planet.
Yes, exactly.
To save humanity. To save mankind. and animal kind.
Yes.
Because, Brad, the earth is heating up. It's getting too warm. And we have to reverse that trend, Brad. We have to cool the earth.
Yes.
So we have to turn that around like Superman when he flew backwards and the earth reversed.
Yes. Go backwards around the earth.
Where's Superman?
And slow everything down.
And so we're going to reverse the trend, Brad, and we're going to cool things off. But what is it going to cool down to? Will it cool down?
Will it cool it down? That's the biggest thing. Will it cool it
and
down?
Nobody and nobody can answer that, Brad, because there is
no
answer.
I read this story, Kenny, out of Minneapolis this morning about, you know, and of course it says this, and this always bothers me. Charging customers variable electric rates isn't a new concept. California has been using this kind of concept for peak periods for years. Yeah, California is the most screwed up state in the unit. I mean, it absolutely is goofy. And that's what they want us to do, is become the new California. They're going to try to use it in Colorado as well. Minnesota Power also is gradually adopting default time of the day rates for its customers. Other utilities offer voluntary programs and incentives to encourage customers to use less energy during peak times. But Xcel is going to try to force the issue by saying, you're going to have to do it. If you use power between 3 and 8 at night, we're going to charge you more. We're going to charge you a lot more.
Bradley, we have somebody on the phone who claims to be an expert when it comes to determining the climate. He's on the phone, Brad.
Is it Ready Electric, or who is it?
I don't know if he remembers Ready Electric. It's Corey from the Range, an expert on determining the climate.
Oh, God, Corey. Oh. So what do you got to say about this?
Well, I know it's colder in the winter, and then it's warmer in the summer, and you have supposed two seasons in between. And where Minnesota currently sits, they used to sit on the equator one time. So what do we really know about what the temperature is supposed to be, to sum up what Kenny said?
Do you know, Corey, that I ran into a guy the other day that swears up and down. Now, he's a firm believer in global warming and all of this stuff.
Yes.
He says, do you know, now would be the time to buy property in Duluth, Minnesota, because after the world changes and the global climate changes and settle down, Duluth is going to be the perfect environmental temperature to live. It's going to be like the Riviera of the North.
Well, when Lake Superior finally drops its final stage after, I think, at Niagara Falls, as it works backwards, the whole Great Lake system's lake levels are going to drop. So I don't know about that one. But the reason I called is, I don't know if you caught the story or not, of our DNR and their exploits recently.
Oh, you mean blowing up deer stands, that one?
Did you talk about this earlier?
I haven't talked about it yet today, but it is in my stack of stuff here to do.
Who in their right mind thought it was okay to stick some sticks of dynamite into a deer stand and blow everything all over the place? That's not even protocol.
You know, that is so bizarre when I read the story, because you're right. You could take a four-wheel drive vehicle out into the woods where there's a deer stand that's illegal on a piece of property and tie a chain around and pull the whole thing down. But no, they put sticks of dynamite in it and blew the stands to kingdom come.
Or you take a chainsaw and cut it down and stack it up nicely and let it be if you had a fear of burning it. I just don't understand what these officers were thinking, to be honest with you. Hey, we got some dynamite. Watch this.
One guy from Deer River, Kent Parks, went out and he said, I found the detonator cord they used. It makes absolutely no sense to have done this.
Yep. So the wizardry of our government and the do-nothing resources.
Well, and then, Corey, to top it all off, it turns out that the one stand was within the boundaries of the Leech Lake Reservation, and they pretty much are assured that the owner of the stand is an enrolled member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibways.
And that doesn't quite work out either. The current value just went up to about $5
million. Oh, man.
Sometimes.
All right, you as well. Thanks. No, I mean, sometimes it just can't, you know, the real news stories are absolutely the most bizarre. The mostly wooded structures, elevated shelters with roofs, walls, and windows where hunters sat and watched for deer during the hunting season, were about 4 by 8 feet, about 10 feet tall, and placed on, in this park area. The structure had been there at least 10 or 15 years, according to results or reports. But the DNR, instead of trying to find out who the people were that owned the two stands, used explosives which were heard from 4 miles away. It shook my house, Finn told the Duluth News Tribune. The windows rattled. A can of Coke vibrated off my bar. There were 2 explosions, one for each stand. I guess the wood scattered around in there is splintered. It's a mess. You and I would be issued a ticket if we left a mess like that. But evidently the DNR doesn't issue itself tickets. Jesus. Oh, amazing. Then they show a pile from one of the stands. I wonder if this is going to be a problem if they found... Well, they claim that the owner probably won't come forward because they knew it was an illegal stand and they'll just leave it be. But... it was one of them was actually on the Indian reservation, and I don't know if the DNR can actually do that, but they did. Anyway, back to my story about Minnesota Power. This is XL Energy speaking. We tend to have an overabundance of very cheap wind energy overnight. This is a spokesman, Isabella Ricker, a clean energy electricity program director for a nonprofit Fresh Energy, said. We tend to have an overabundance of very clean wind overnight, energy overnight. And unfortunately, there aren't a whole lot of customers using a lot of power overnight. So they think that somehow they got to try to change people's habits. Or the use of when they're using, you got to get up in the middle of the night and put in a couple of loads of laundry.
It's getting crazy, Brad. But we do have on the phone somebody who has had decades of climate experience.
Oh, boy. Let me guess.
Decades.
Pierre where is he from today?
Grant Stanley Tomlin to get the weather whether or not.
Okay.
What about 23 Skidoo?
23 Skidoo. I like that.
23 Skidoo, what does it mean?
Well, wasn't that a dance move back in the turn of the century or something? I don't know.
$90-some million dollars is 23 Skidoo. Get it out of here. Skedaddle. I didn't vote for that to go to anybody.
Oh.
23 Skidoo, check it out. I want to know what you mean.
All right. I will check it out. Oh, man. Getting crazy, Kenny. Let me settle back to earth here very quickly. We'll be back right after this first break, hey?
KDAL time is 1:28, and downtown at Canal Park, 64 degrees. Winds are out of the southwest. They're coming at a pretty good clip, Brad, at about 20 miles an hour, again, out of the southwest. So we are dealing with some windy conditions, but mild air. Yesterday in Duluth, we got up to 59. The normal high is 52. The record.
So, Kenny.
Yes.
Kenny, any idea what 23 Skidoo means?
Yeah.
Was that the number of a motor scooter or a snowmobile or something?
It was an old phrase. It just meant leave quickly. Skedaddle.
Oh.
Get lost. Okay. Scram. I don't know. Yeah. But Bradley, it was 1 year ago today. Actually, it was 1 year ago, April 20th. On April 20th of 2023, Duluth received snow. And I don't remember the exact number here. I guess I wasn't on that page to go to that. But that snowfall, well, here, let me get there. I can be there in a couple of clicks. And we'll just take a look at it here. So April 20th, we received.
A year ago.
Okay. We received 3.2 inches of snow on April 20th. That amount pushed us over the all-time snowfall record for any winter ever. And we were on our way to 140.1 inches. So a year ago today, we were at 139.8 inches. We had 22 inches on the ground. A year ago today, our snow depth was 22 inches. And then this winter, we go from the snowiest of all time to one of the least snowiest of all time. Amazing.
So last year at this time, were the goofballs still out there saying, oh, global warming, oh my God.
They'll be saying it for a long time. They're hung up on this, Brad. It gives them something to do. They can limit their use of things. They can stop using styrofoam, and it makes them feel good, you know. They can give the man laying in a blanket on the street corner. They give him 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks. Yeah. Makes him feel good.
That'll make them feel good about themselves. Yeah, yeah, I gave something to somebody else.
And again, in the first hour, we were talking about a man who was laying in a blanket right on the corner, on the curb.
And not anymore, though.
Stop giving these people money, because the money is better spent at the Salvation Army, Damiano Center.
Or any place, yes.
Union Gospel.
Much better.
Oh, that's where you should be giving
Gospel
that money.
Do good things with it. Yep. Well, I found the answer in this whole story about XL, the way they want to change their electricity. It all comes from these goofballs like this Isabel Ricker, clean electricity program director for the nonprofit Fresh Energy. She says here, if enough people reduce their peak energy use, it can save costs and potentially, here it comes, Kenny, avoid utilities having to build new peaking plants, which are often fueled by natural gas, she said.
Never given that the gong. They're psychotic, Brad. They're all crazy. I mean, they're literally.
They are.
They're climate zealots. And they think they're going to make a difference. They think they're going to lower the Earth's temperature. Brad, what efforts in Duluth, Minnesota, by limiting gasoline and if all the cars in Duluth were electric, what effect would that have on worldwide climate?
Probably none, but it would pretty much crash our grid because everybody would be sucking off the electricity off of the system.
And again, I would challenge a climate zealot. What is the optimal temperature we want to drop to, and how do we get there and keep it there?
Exactly.
How do we keep it there, Brad? Where's the thermostat?
Where do we turn it up
and
turn it down?
They're insane.
Oh, well, anyway, I got to talk when we come back after this CBS news break about my favorite subject, school districts and their use of money. Because, boy, oh, boy, it came out over the weekend, a huge story in the Pioneer Press by Alex DeRocher. Districts facing budget shortfalls. They just got the biggest crunch of money last year out of the state legislature, and now they're short of money again. We'll talk about how that happened, and I don't know, CBS News anyway.
KDAL time is 136, 64 in Canal Park, 66 in Superior, 63 in Eveleth, and Madeleine Island at LaPointe, Major Gilbert Field, 64 degrees.
Speaking of Madeleine Island, did you see that the way you're going to get out there has been sold?
Yeah.
Did you see that in the morning paper?
The ferries were sold to, I'm not sure who bought them, and maybe if you've got the story, we can talk about it after we talk to Sean from Phil's Garage Door Service.
But Sean is the guy that keeps his garage doors going up and down.
Well, you know, it's funny that, because I want to hear that story, because I got to go out and work at one of the hangar doors at the airport out of Manhattan Island, so.
Oh, do you really? Well, yeah, there. It's not, I don't think it'll affect you now how to get there, but the whole ferry system has been sold to the mainland in northern Wisconsin to one of the cities.
Cool.
And they bought it lock, stock, and barrel.
Cool. Well,
so it's going to be a good transportation system to get out there. Well, that's interesting that you even got to. How far out do you go with service, Sean?
Well, we to make it really easy, Minneapolis to the Canadian border.
Really?
And then all northern Wisconsin and into Michigan.
So you cover a pretty large area.
Yes. Yeah, our biggest is, well, we have a state contract with Minnesota, so we do all facilities.
Okay.
And then that leads to counties and cities and, you know, all that good stuff. But
well, of course, we're talking, yeah, we're talking to Sean from Phil's Garage Door Service. And, of course, just to make sure everybody understands, Phil's Garage Door Service is the company that can take care of anything to do with your garage doors, from broken springs to safety sensors to you confused on how to set up the code to get in and out of your own garage. That happens even on occasion, does it not, Sean?
Absolutely. And with technology today, even, you know, the opening and closing from your smartphone and getting that set up, we can help you with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, and that's a nice feature, by the way, to have it in your smartphone and can handle it. But Phil's Garage Door team is ready to help you out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year-round. When you need that door to go up or to go down, it's going to happen. And you know what? They've been installing garage doors since 1994. They're locally and veteran-owned and union-operated. And as you just heard, they can come to you anywhere in the state of Minnesota and even over into Wisconsin, where you might have heard it over in the Bayfield area or Madeline Island or anywhere. So, you know, give them a call. Very simple to get a hold of them. You can either call them at 218-525-7654. That's 218-525-7654. Or, Sean, what, just go to PhilsGarageDoor.com on the internet, PhilsGarageDoor.com, and you'll get a lot of information right there as well, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of links. You can do research, or you can even schedule service calls right from our website. You can request quotes, you know, all that. Or, again, you know, call us. There's an actual live person that will answer the phone 24/7. So,
nice.
We try
you
to...
Know, really, that is so important. It really is. It makes you as a customer feel like, I left that with an answering machine. I'll probably never hear back from them. If you've dealt with a live person, you feel much more comfortable about the service you're going to get.
Yes, and one of the main reasons is I get frustrated. Was I supposed to hit number one or number two?
All right. Well, just keep listening. I'll tell you who's going to run the new ferry service over to Madeline Island. But in the meantime, if you've got any problems at all on your garage door, whether it be your personal garage door at your home, or maybe you got a business with five or six trucks that need to get in and out of garage doors, Phil's Garage Door Service. And again, 218-525-7654 will get you the service you need. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it as always.
You too. Thanks.
Well, Kenny, where are we at time? Oh, we're good. I got.
Well, you were going to talk about what was going on Madeline Island, and as long as I've got the details here, you know, you think about the names. Okay. You know, we've talked about the different names attached to airports, and at La Pointe, the airport on
La
Pointe.
That's the town.
It's actually on Madeline Island. It's on the island.
Is that where that is? Is
the
that
airport
where that
is,
town of La Pointe is?
Well,
no.
La Pointe is on Madeline Island, and not far away is the airport, K4R5, Major Gilbert Field. Well, who's Major Gilbert? Well, Major Gilbert is Major Gordon E. Gilbert, who served in the 554th Fighter-Bomber Squadron in World War II.
Nice.
And he's from Ashland, was from Ashland. Okay. And I don't have a lot of details on Major Gilbert, but I think, don't quote me on this, I think he was Native American. But I'll try to get more details on that, Brad, because
please.
There's just not a lot there.
The town of La Pointe, is that on the mainland or is it on Madeline Island?
It's on the island.
It is on the island.
Yeah, that's the that's where the ferry stop is. You know, the what is it called? Tom's burned down cabin or whatever it is. That's all on Madeline Island at La Pointe.
And when I was out there a year or two ago, that's where we rented the scooters so we could flip around the island and see it all. Yeah, cool place.
There you
Very
go.
Cool place. Well, anyway, the town of La Pointe has evidently felt that they need to make sure that this Madeline Island ferry service is running. So they closed on the $17.3 million deal to purchase Madeline Island ferry assets as of March 28th. The Madeline Island ferry line has five boats that make nearly 6,000 crossings each year to bring people to Madeline Island from the mainland in Bayfield. The island is a popular tourist draw, as we all know, for thousands of visitors during the summer, boosting La Pointe's year-round population of about 430 residents. Seems like it's busy all the time over there. Glenn Carlson, the chair of the town board, said that around 130,000 people make the round trip from the mainland to the island each year. To me, buying the ferry line was a critical part of keeping the island's population sustainable. So now what they did was they went out and they also secured around $10.8 million in revenue and general obligation bonds, which are a form of long-term borrowing used by state and local governments. So they're going to – now, they do say that, you know, the Carlson said the town board recently approved a 7% increase for the ferry line's rates, which are expected to take effect in mid-May. But get this. I mean, this is no big deal. The cost of a round trip to Madeline Island and back will increase from $17 to $18. And for those taking vehicles across, you can drive your car right onto one of the ferries and take your car across. That will increase from $29 to $31 for round trip travel between the mainland and the island. So it's just a way that Madeline Island wants to make sure that they've got what they need as far as transportation to keep people coming and going. And it's just a great, great place. A lot of entertainment, a lot of great places to eat, to drink, to have a good time, and just good people over there on Madeline Island. So that's what's going to happen. That ferry service will continue on indefinitely. Anyway, we're getting very close to our Minnesota news break here. I do want to go back to the Yale and Columbia, because there is a lot happening there today. Police riot squads are, well, not necessarily riot squads, but police organizations are manned and arresting people. They've arrested over 50 on Yale already. There's an interesting story out this morning. Cornell professor of law William Jacobson has compared the anti-Israel movement on Yale and Columbia to the anti-capitalist Occupy Wall Street movement. Remember when that happened a couple of years ago? Well, he said a lot of the same people are involved in it, and that really this is nothing more than an anti-American movement. This is a group that wants to see the fall of America. Cornell Law Professor William Jacobson, who's been studying the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, a movement for 15 years, said that the protests at Ivy League universities like Columbia and Yale are reminiscent of the Occupy Wall Street. He says that they've set up these liberation zones, and he says the people really are nothing more than the radicals. They could be a psychological aspect of affecting students because they're told they have to go deeply into debt to attend elite colleges, only to find out their dreams were crushed by a system that lured them into taking on enormous debt. The Columbia Spectator had some very interesting things written about this. And when we come back from Minnesota Newsbreak, I'll finish this up because this is really nothing more than just a continuation. Same kind of people, just a different cause. And the cause really is nothing more than to try to break the American spirit or the anti-Americanism that exists out there. So we'll talk about that when we come back. As long as we can make it to the show tonight, well, American man.
KDAL time, 151 Grand Funk Railroad, not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Jeez, Kenny. This is insane that these great groups like this are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I'm not saying that a lot of the bands that were inducted here, well, we just heard the list recently, Foreigner, deserving. Cher is deserving. And Peter Frampton is deserving.
Wait, wait a minute. Cher's not deserving.
Brad, when
Sonny and Cher are deserving.
Well, there you go. And I don't know all the details there. If was Sonny and Cher inducted? Is she going in now under a different category, if you will? I'm not sure. But Cher does have some heritage, if you will, in rock and roll that goes back to the early days of rock and roll. She simply does, Brad. She simply does.
Okay.
But should these other bands that we've been mentioning today, should they have been in there before some of these bands? I think they should have. Should Grand Funk Railroad have been in before Foreigner? Yes.
Probably.
We'll leave it at that.
They were active before that.
I did want to say something real quickly, but I don't remember what it was. You made me lose my thought there. you get me all riled up with this rock and roll stuff here, but I'll think of it.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Let me just give you the last paragraph of this story from this Columbia law professor, because he's really got it figured out right. He says, I don't think there's really a future for these protesters because they're built around tearing things down, he said. They have no positive agenda. Their agenda is to tear things apart, tear it down. I think what people need to understand is that these protesters, who ostensibly are anti-Israeli, are also anti-American. At almost a complete overlap between the anti-Israel, anti-American, and anti-capitalist protesters, he added. That's what this movement is about. It's not just about the war in Gaza. It's about destroying America. Interesting. Very interesting. Well, anyway,
yeah, a partial list of the inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cher, Foreigner.
Does it have Sonny and Cher?
Yeah, it just says Cher. Foreigner.
Just
Peter.
Cher.
Yep. Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and there's some others here. Some of these, A Tribe Called Quest, they're a hip-hop band, Dionne Warwick, but a lot of MC5, John Mayall. But a lot of these
MC5,
yeah, but they're going in under different categories, which is kind of weird to me. But those are some of the lists there. But you know, Brad, I mean, Three Dog Night, Tommy James and the Shondells, and Grand Funk Railroad. I mean, those are just three.
They should be there. They should be there.
Yeah.
Say, speaking of a whole nother thing, Thursday is the Pro Football Draft. Do you have any pick for who the Vikes are going to pick in the first round? What's going to happen there? Are we going to get if we don't get a quarterback, I think they're going to run this new GM out of town.
Well, yeah, there's other teams that need quarterbacks that pick before us, New England. I'm not too worried about it because, you know, the Vikings have had some very good drafts and some real dogs that have come out of the draft.
Yeah. You know who I want to see?
We need defense, man. We need defense badly, badly.
Yeah, but we can get defensive guys. Getting a really good supreme quarterback is hard to do. You know who I think the guy is that the Vikings should take? I'm going to tell you. Yeah. I think it's J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback from the national champion.
He won't be there for us.
No, I think he will be. Yeah. Here's why. Because I think we'll make a trade with somebody that will move us up to about fourth or fifth place. I think we might even see us get the number four pick or the Los Angeles Chargers, what they have. And the thing I like about McCarthy is that he's not your quintessential star passer. You know, some teams, they just pass all the time, and that's, you know, those guys. But guess who the last great quarterback was from Michigan that came out of the same kind of a program? They ran a little, they threw a little, but they were not a quintessential passing team. Guess who it was? Tom Brady. Tom Brady came out of Michigan and ended up winning, what, six Super Bowls?
Yeah, that's kind of an anomaly. I mean, it really is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, somebody, did you say, sixth round?
Yeah.
And he wins, and he goes on to be the most prolific Super Bowl quarterback ever.
It's bizarre. That's
once-in-a-lifetime stuff there.
Yeah. But I think this J.J. McCarthy is that kind of a winner.
Yeah.
That's everything I've read about him is he just
I think
wins.
They said that about Christian Ponder, I think.
Oh, don't go there. Please don't go down that road.
Spurgeon win.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Hey, let me ask you a question very quickly here before we run out of time. How much is a good apple worth? You know, an apple that you chew and bite into.
Oh, I was thinking of laptop computers.
No.
How much is an apple worth?
Well, apple. What would you pay for?
It's priceless, Brad. An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. How much is an apple? I buy them by the bags, not by the apple.
Yeah.
They're kind of pricey.
For a bag?
What do you pay? They're kind of
what
pricey.
What do you get, maybe $7 for a bag of five or six of
them? Okay. Yeah, what's your point? Where are you going here?
Yeah, well, the reason I'm bringing it up is because even people that shop at Whole Foods stores are now realizing that Bidenomics is killing us. Recently, somebody posted on a Facebook site of a Whole Foods shopper who had paid, didn't realize what they were paying. They bought a few apples. They paid $7 a piece for the apple at a Whole Foods co-op. And they said, that's nuts. I used to pay $1.30 or $2 for the same apples. Whole Foods website, a pound of organic sugar bee apples cost $3.99. But this poor woman paid $7 for one apple. And she said, it was a nice apple. It's about the size of my palm. But she said, it's crazy. I scanned it, and I couldn't believe $7 for one apple. People
did she
are
buy it?
Starting to find out.
I mean, did she buy the apple?
She did buy it.
All right.
Well, that's people that shop at Whole Foods co-ops. You know, that's what happens.
Let's
folks,
do it again tomorrow, eh?
Let's do it tomorrow. We'll be back at it. We've got a lot left over from today to talk about, too. See you all then. Have a great day. We came into your town.